Thank you, everyone, for tuning back into the Faith Rising podcast. We really, truly appreciate your time. This is Jeff Lamberts, your host, coming back to you again today. We love that you're watching, listening, however you're absorbing and digesting your information today. I want to welcome my special guest today, Gabe Vincelet. He's coming to us actually from the road, as he is a very, very hardworking, motivated, dedicated, and disciplined man, and he has given us a little bit of his time. Tell us a little bit about his story so we can learn more about him, the decisions that he's made, how he's been guided in that path, and where he's headed in the future. So Gabe is an entrepreneur, three different businesses, kicking butt out there and really, really making it happen. And as usual, I could give a 6-minute amazing bio as if I've known him for 45 years, even though I'm not that old. But I like to get it directly from the source. So Gabe, thanks for being on with us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your past, your present, and if you want to dive into where you see yourself in the future. Otherwise, we can cover that during the course of our conversation. We'll take some notes. We'll have some good dialogue and get some questions answered and allow the people to learn about you a little bit more and see what we find out.
All right. Cool. Thanks. First off, I want to say that I have an older brother who's 8 years older than me, and his name is also Joffrey.
Nice.
So, and I know that we got started on the online relationship, and I want to ask you again, Joffrey, which one?
Jeff. That way. Jeff is good.
Jeff, okay. All right. But we're going to spell it G-O-E-F-F either way, right?
G-E-O is good. Yep, G-E-O.
Good. All right. All right, he needs a stockbroker in Boston. So, okay. You know, hey, that's fun. Okay. All right. So, so let's go for background first. A little bit of complexity here. I'm the fourth kids in my family, and my parents were missionaries, and they were missionaries in Central Europe. So that would be Germany, Austria, Switzerland, out through there.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of us kids was born in a different country or state, if you will.
Whoa.
And, each one of us has a different upbringing, even though we're all a part of the same family, because we all went to different schools. We all had different communities. And, I think our ages spread over 8 years, but, it's kind of an interesting mix that way. So, so that kind of, was my childhood, was moving between U.S. and Europe. My dad was responsible, in a sense, on a business and, I would say relationships side to take over churches that were struggling within kind of the European atmosphere of the Protestant faith, if you will. I ended up in the middle of junior high going to a German, Canadian boarding school in Germany. For about 3 or 4 years, and then returning to the U.S., finishing out my junior and senior year here in Southeast Michigan, in the Detroit area, taking a year off, meeting my wife at Christian Camp in Howell, and then finishing school here, getting a business degree from an Ann Arbor University, and then starting my working world, if you will. So, my comfort space, ironically enough, is not really standing still. And it took me a long time. I turned 40 this year and I'm still learning this, but it took me a long time to realize that standing still is okay. But moving is a lot more fun.
I'm going to agree 100%. And we're about the same age. And I think I'm learning that as well.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, so I've been in, I've only gone out of Southeast Michigan the past 18 years for a couple of jobs for renewable energy and some business development and some projects that friends needed help with. But I think I've been here the past 18. So again, there's an oxymoron, right? I'm saying standing still is not fun, but sitting still, all that kind of good stuff. So, you know, like you just said, the learning part of moving is okay. And on a spiritual end, I just want to say this idea of a wounded warrior just swinging his sword, without any purpose is far more detrimental to yourself and others than just getting the job done, kind of a deal too. But anyways,
I like it.
So this would put me, if I'm 40 and let's say I graduated around when I was 22, so this puts me, 18 years in the working world, if you will. And I think I've probably gone through 65 jobs, let's say. And that spans from baker to snowplow to salesman to renewable energy to construction to just a lot of different things. And so you can also kind of now feel sorry for my wife and kids. Sorry, I do have a wife. I do have three kids. She just never knows what she's going to get over a 4 month, 6 month span from me.
Okay.
It's not necessarily a negative, but like it's taken a while to get used to those cycles, right? As in a sense of, hey, this is what I'm doing this month, or this is not what I'm doing this month. And hey, that business project didn't work out. Don't know how we're going to get paid. Hands open. Hey, they fired me because I didn't make enough sales, kind of a deal. So, it's not per se a, So 18 years is probably span around 65 jobs. So if you're counting, that's a job change every 3 to 4 months. I think my longest one has been a year so far within a field. I've never been fired illegally, or it wasn't any kind of, legal issue, or hey, you did something wrong. It was just projects not working out, kind of a deal, or sales not working out. So I've been so blessed that way that my work ethic at least gets me that far, and then God kind of says, well, all right, for this one, let's go on to the next one. What can we do? So one of the questions I think you also ask is the idea of what got me to here, and for me, I like working for myself.
Okay. It sounds like most of your work here, Gabe, has been project-based, contract-based, 1099 potential work, stuff like that. Is that about right?
That's about right. I'd say about 80% of it was. And
that gives you the freedom and flexibility to kind of set your schedules, set your paycheck, essentially work for yourself under the umbrella of another company.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And I think, me and you being the same age, this will ring true too, is that there also is a certain maturity that you have to get to be okay with that kind of a deal,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And for me, the interesting part has been just really sinking into myself, and I can go over what I've done, but sinking into myself, being aware, forming my own internal mission, forming my own community around me, and then saying, okay, God, open hands, what do you want me to do? Kind of a deal. So,
which is very important because a lot of people, sorry to cut you off, there, a lot of people believe in that and they talk that, but when it comes to acting and just, opening your arms, opening your hands and saying, what's next? Instead of absolutely freaking out and going crazy about it, just to kind of step back and say, what's next? And that's where you had mentioned that standing still is okay. I struggle with that, and I'm always moving, one thing, two, three, four, five things at once. And sometimes recently I've learned that in the last probably 4 or 5 months that have to just step back and say, okay, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do here? And then just let it happen.
And the fun thing within that too is that, the past 4 or 5 months, just kind of when you do get a time to sit down, and you think you need, 5, 6 different irons in the fire. And you finally let that small whisper of God come through and just say, hey, you know what? Why don't you take a break today? Why don't you just, there's nothing that you can do more to kind of force things on your plate. And if something is forced, do you really want to hang around with it? Kind of a deal too. At that point. And it's a difference between networking because kind of forcing something. And the big difference for me there would be just the simple idea of, am I reaching for something? Like, you know, if I, when I contacted you through LinkedIn, was I reaching for something, or was I just wanting to get questions, or wanting to see what a conversation could bring, rather than kind of forcing in a direction? I mean, there was a purpose why we called each other. But I think, you know, that's the one thing that I'm learning on the maturity aspect of that. Once I make that outreach, I just have to let it go. And it's not about me forcing something that I need to sell or do whatever down somebody's throat. And if it's supposed to happen, God or the higher power is just going to say, look, you know what, here's what I want. Here's what I want to happen, but it's going to be with patience and peace rather than let's drill something through, get the projects through, and then you can get on to the next one and fill 14 of your irons again, kind of a deal. So,
Yep. And now I remember it had slipped my mind initially because we had a very, very long multi-hour conversation, if I remember correctly, our first one, talking about a potential that I had been employed somewhere. You were potentially going to be employed there. No names will be said here.
Yep.
No names will be harmed in the filming of this podcast. And, you know, we had talked about the ins and outs, and I cannot say I had the most optimistic and positive viewpoint of that based on my experience, but others had. And at the end of the day, you know, it didn't work out for you. So there's, you know, God saying, hey, this isn't the right thing. He reached out to this guy. We talked, we connected, and here we are 7 months later, 6 months later, you know, talking again, doing this. So it's funny how it all kind of comes back around, you know?
Exactly. So,
I want to touch on a couple things here. I believe, if I heard you correctly, because there was a lot right up front there, you were born in Germany, right?
Correct. I was born in Germany. My dad was teaching at a German Bible college, if you will.
Okay.
And that's where we just happened to be. And then I moved to, I think, Austria, Pennsylvania, New York, Michigan, Switzerland, and that was about it.
So that's
before I graduated.
How long were you in Germany? Was this just a couple years? Were you old enough to remember being in Germany?
No, I was old enough to remember. I think I was there till kindergarten, and then we moved to upstate New York. And then that was, I believe, the second year of kindergarten, and then we moved to Vienna, Austria.
Okay.
That was first through third grade. I was in a Viennese public school.
Wow.
Fourth grade, we moved back to Pennsylvania, where my dad got a job at the Philadelphia College of Bible, I believe.
Okay.
And I had not been in a – I had spoken English at home, but I had not been in a American English-speaking learning environment. So that on my grade four, I had to learn English, reading and writing, basically.
Wow.
So that was I remember that year. That was kind of interesting. And then of course my wife still jokes now, you didn't learn enough, because she barely understands me halfway.
So what fluency did you retain? German and Austria? They speak German in Austria too, or am I don't know.
Yes, they do. Yep. Okay. Switzerland's only split up into five different languages. But anyways,
So you can speak German fluently or not anymore?
Yes. No, I can still speak German fluently. The funny thing is, if we're watching a German TV show, I can still understand them. I can still read. I don't think I can write, because I'm also a terrible writer in English too, but anyway, they're American. And then at the same time too, I think I'm about a quarter or three quarters, or maybe a third French is in there too, kind of a deal. So, I can understand French. I can't speak it very well, and I can't write it or read it.
Okay.
Kind of a deal. So
that's interesting, though. Very interesting. So I want to talk about the difference in kind of how they view religions on this, because I'm not sure what your current status is, if you're active within a church somewhere. I believe you had said Protestant. Mm-hmm. Your father was a Protestant missionary.
Yep.
If you have a current relationship with a church, a membership, partnership, whatever the case is, like, how did that differ your memory of being involved in that in Germany and then in Austria and then coming back to the States, I've got to imagine, I've never been to Europe, I've got to imagine there's a distinct difference in how they practice, how they worship, how they view traditions,
I think the other mindset here too is, remember, my dad, that was his career. Mm-hmm. That was being involved in a church was his career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you get older, you kind of transition into a situation. Do I need to go to church today? Do I not? But we had to show up at church every single day. Right.
Okay.
And it was his responsibility to make sure that, you know, either the teaching was done or the financial wherewithal of the church and all that kind of stuff. So, but let's look at it this way then. So history of even, let's say, evangelical Protestant environments.
Yes.
So, I mean, very simply, your church buildings are going to be completely different than they are in Europe, right? They're going to be older. They're going to be your traditional form of a Catholic service is going to be more interesting. If you're in a Protestant environment, excuse me, we're going over a bridge in Bay City. I remember the churches, like even like in Vienna, we would rent space from an older church, or we'd rent an odd building, let's say, that was older, maybe not set up to be a church, so you couldn't have humongous churches like you would, like, even in the Midwest or the U.S. kind of that way. So your church sizes and your church environments that way could be, you know, just think about small town environments could be a little bit different.
Okay.
Because he was at a teaching school, if you will, you know, almost like a seminary, like a Dallas seminary or something like that for the European environment.
Okay.
I think that was a little bit different too, because, you know, it's like, you know, hey, you're going to school, you're going to have to show up for parentheses chapel, if you will. So it's almost like you're thinking about a, how you put this, almost like a Christian school here in like Cornerstone or something like that, where kids are required to go to chapel and so forth. So I think there's a couple of different things that way. The other half about it too is that I think your community involvement, like you're not going to have your traditional after dinner potluck or after church potluck, if you will.
Okay.
They really didn't call it that, but the society wise, they set apart more time to be in community. So like, for example, on a Sunday afternoon in a European or German, Austrian, Swiss environment, on a Sunday afternoon, even if you didn't go to church, you would have something called quiet time. And that quiet time would happen from like 1 o'clock in the afternoon to probably about maybe 5 or so.
Okay.
And no stores would be open.
Okay.
And as an American kid born in Germany, we had a basketball hoop, and I can remember numerous times getting in trouble for having a basketball hoop and playing basketball during that quiet time.
Oh wow.
Well, okay. Kind of a deal, because just bouncing the ball was too loud. So just the idea of setting aside for a community and being in community and doing that, I think that's my major takeaway from those church environments is your community aspect is different. It's not just show up on Sunday. It's you're living closer together. You're working with those people. You're doing a couple of different things. And that's where I think it changes a lot.
Okay. Now you said you were, I believe you're the youngest of 4 siblings.
I am the youngest. Yep.
And each one of them, every one of your siblings, it's all brothers?
I've got 2 brothers and 1 sister.
Okay.
So we're going to stick with the French Canadian name here because of our French Canadian background.
Sure.
My brother next to me is 4 years older than me. His name's Guy or Guy.
Okay.
And then my sister's 6 years older than he's in Maine. My sister's older than me. She's a May. So AIMEE with that little dash above it. And then of course, Joffrey is the oldest one that way.
Okay. All right. Awesome. So I'm sure that it was a little bit different because they grew up, you know, in wherever they were born, whatever country they were born in. Ultimately, you know, having settled in Germany, the States, back to Austria, back to Pennsylvania kind of a thing. What was that like having them with their prior experience? Because he says 4, 6, and 8 years older than you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So they, I mean, obviously they hadn't developed. Obviously they weren't teenagers, this kind of thing. I mean, that, you know, 8-year-old brother was getting close to that double digits, but I'm sure that they had some different experiences. How did their experiences that they might have carried on, how did that affect you, if at all?
I think the biggest aspect there was that, you know, I don't know if you have siblings or not, but the siblings, if you grew up in a community, people are like, oh, I know you, you're blah, 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 blah from that family or whatever it is. Right.
Yeah.
So just extrapolate that three times over.
Yes.
So there's that. And then there's also this idea that, you know, from even from like, let's say from a very simple career standpoint, there is no roots for you to go into within the community that I'm living now either. Right. So, it's not like they can say, oh yeah, your brother, you know, worked for us during at the grocery store here. Would you like to think about doing something like that? So you don't really even have an in into kind of like, if you're looking at a, I would say career or just something to do around the community. If you're there, that's non-existent to my brothers and sisters and to me. Basically, we can't really help each other because we don't really live close to each other, but we also don't have a network that we work from. So I think that's, if you're looking at, you know, a difference or a lack, I would say that's a big lack in my world, of just that, you know, if I want to do something, and I want to open up a shop, let's say somewhere in Maine where my brother lives, he could say, hey, though, this shop is available and I talked to this guy and this is happening and da 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 da, because he has a whole network out there, right? If I wanted to open up in Michigan here where none of my siblings are, I don't have that kind of a deal. So that also changes, I think, how business is run internally in my head too. So so there's stuff like that. So but the other positives is that as we grow up, even though, you know, it's kind of funny, during COVID, my brother has a cabin up in Maine, and it's on a lake, and he goes, look, tickets are cheap, let's get the siblings together. And we hadn't done that for 15 years.
Oh wow.
So so just being able to get together with my siblings in the past 15 years and having done that, you know, it's kind of like getting to know other people in a different mature level. Like, as you know, when you don't see somebody daily, you think their maturity or space stops, right? And if you don't see them for a couple of years, and all of a sudden you see them again, you're like, oh, what? Wait a minute. How did you grow? You weren't supposed to grow. Kind of deal. So,
wait, when did you start doing this? When did you stop doing that?
Exactly. So it was fun to kind of get to know that. And, but there's that community network aspect lack, that on one end is a sorrow, but on the other end, it also forces me to trust God differently. Right.
I'm not shooed into
something, and I can trust that whatever is coming my way, it's not through somebody else's eyes. It's through the relationships that I have, kind of a deal. Okay. So anyway,
now, are each one of your siblings, are they entrepreneurs as well? It sounds like your brother in Maine is. I don't think you touched on that with the other siblings.
No. So my closest brother, Guy, he is actually a school teacher, German teacher, which is hilarious.
Awesome.
But he also runs a construction company on the side.
Well, if you ever need a brush up, I mean, on your German, you know, he's the guy to go to, right?
Well, it's funny because 3 months ago, some guy contacted me and wanted a remote position for Germany. And so I talked with my brother for 3 days straight in German, trying to brush up.
Nice. That's awesome.
So, yeah, so there's that. So he's an entrepreneur in that way, and that he also does a very good job of just kind of like, you know, for example, his entrepreneurial thing is he does an Airbnb because he owns a farm about a mile and a half from the main ocean, and he split it up into three different apartments.
Interesting.
And the past 10 years, those Airbnb apartments have paid for the mortgage, and they go out west, because he's a school teacher, they go out west and travel out west in the camper. So that's an example of his entrepreneurism and his ability to do that. My sister's an emergency. Yep. So my sister's an emergency room nurse in Vermont, in Burlington, Vermont. And she's got four kids, so she has no other time to be entrepreneurial, if you will.
I get that.
And my other brother, he's not a sales broker, but he works for Fidelity Investments out of Boston. And ironically enough, he started actually a small neighborhood bar in Worcester, Massachusetts, brewery. And so he had been working there the past 3 or 4 years. And then he started virtual tastings, of course, as COVID hit. So along with his stuff that he's doing for Fidelity, he was able to do that. And he's a work from home. He's part of the K economy, if you will. Okay. He's a work from home guy now. And then he can also do that bar stuff on the side.
That's
kind
cool.
of a deal. So that's how entrepreneurial those guys are.
Well, it's a lot going on, you know, a lot going on with the siblings here. So, yeah, I haven't seen my siblings in 15 years. So there's one of them I probably haven't seen in 5, and I'm blessed to be able to go see them in about 2 weeks, you know, just beyond Christmas. So we get to see both of them. So that'll be nice. A lot going on, man. You got a busy, busy life, busy daily life, you know, family, couple kids, you know, Europe, US, all these different things going on. Coming back to the States here, I see, you know, one of the big things, obviously, in recent time, as we're in the coronavirus world, we talked about it a few times in the experience with your siblings in this. I mean, how has that affected your business? How has that affected your businesses, your opportunities in the last, you know, what's it been, 8-10 months, something like that?
Yep. So I think if this would have happened 25 years ago, or sorry, when I was 25, let's say, I would have looked at it and said, oh gosh, I'm heading towards a divorce. I don't have any work prospects, and I don't trust myself at all to make money.
Okay.
Kind of a deal, right? And looking at it now, how has it affected me? So for me, I look at it and say, okay, all right. So me and my wife has been through this before, not the corona, but just job loss, transition, uncertainty, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it was more of a fuel for peace internally rather than, oh gosh, what the heck's going to happen?
Okay.
Kind of a deal. And because of that, like, you know, a very simple thing would have been, you know, why I'm coming from the car today was that I have a job up in Harrison that I'm going to be installing some solar PV panels. And 10 years ago, I had struck up a relationship with a friend of mine who's 62, 63. And he wanted to, he was an electrical engineer installing solar panels in Michigan, one of the few guys doing it 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I called him up and we hung out for a bit. And it just never panned out that 10 years ago. And the past 3 months, I called him up again. And we stayed in touch because he watched my career in renewable energy and projects and so forth.
Okay.
And he said, oh, I am so glad that you called because I am busy beyond belief.
Wow.
And here's what I need. Kind of a deal.
Okay.
And that conversation came through just my morning routine of when I was talking about, you know, I'm feeling stress, I'm feeling uncertainty, I'm feeling all that kind of stuff, was just being able to pull back, be aware that that's going on, open up my hands, and then say, God, what do you want me to do? And as clear as a bell, it came across my mind, just sitting there,
mm-hmm.
And sipping my morning coffee and just taking time for myself and doing my routine. It said, talk to Tom, see how he's doing. And I said, okay. And by the end of the day, I'd called him, and by the end of the day, we'd set up our first job. So, just
what
this idea of,
what a testament, right?
Yeah. Well, it is. And to me, it has nothing to do with, you know, my wife was like, well, off to a new career. And I was like, no, this is just a job. And that's what we get during this time.
Is this frustrating for her? Do you feel like, is she expressed like, oh my gosh, this, you know, you got 40, 65 jobs since
you've, 65, you know, completely. Like, I would say completely. And I can tell you that our relationship has, of course, taken huge hits in the sense of her just being like, I just want to be able to frickin' have a husband that can just put money on the table consistently, right? Not so, and I was like, but your husband's done 65. She goes, I don't give a crap if my husband, well, she doesn't talk that way. But anyway, she goes, I don't care if you've done 65 things. I don't care that you have fun. I just want money on the table.
Right. I get
and
that.
And then over the years, you know, I get it too, right? And I say, well, I want consistent long-term, not short-term crap. So anyway, so to me, the other half about it is also the situation that her maturing within that too is just kind of like, okay, you know what, God, I trust you. I do trust my husband to make money, but I can't dictate how that's going to happen. He's not being a lazy butt. He's not being, you know, he's not trying to get out of work. I just realize that this is the way he's wired as an entrepreneur, and I'm not, but I have the, and this is my wife talking, I feel like, I have the ability to trust you more than I do my husband.
Okay.
And it's a very odd thing to feel that, right? But it's also very refreshing.
Oh, I'm
at
sure.
The same time too. Yeah.
Just having that because trust and faith and everything works out.
Yep. Because your conversation then turns to, okay, you know, in a good time of the day, turns to, hey, where did God show up today? Kind of a deal. Well, he showed up here and he showed up there. Great. That's all we can trust. That God showed up, we showed up. We were able to go through it. We weren't reaching. We weren't forcing, but we had to show up and do what we needed to do. And then this, what came out of it, kind of the deal.
I like
right.
That.
And I'm
I
sure
like
yeah. And I'm sure guys that are doing like construction and painting and all that kind of stuff, you know, as you know, you do one thing, you think it's going to be stupid. You think it's going to be dumb. And all of a sudden the customer comes back and says, hey, could you quote me on this, 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 and this, right? Just stuff that you never thought was going to happen. And if you were grumbling, complaining about the crap job that you're doing, and the customer comes back and says, I would like you to help me on quoting this, 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 and this, your response, if you were grumbling the whole time, is going to be much different than if you just are like, hey, thanks. I'm grateful that I was able to do this today.
That's correct. Very correct.
Deal. So, yeah.
Interesting. So what would you say then, because you've got three businesses, take me through them real quick. You've got Guides Logistics, sure. Detroit Forest, yep. And then you've got GreatLakeForest.com. Each one of those yep. comes, I'm sure, with their own unique set of challenges, their own unique set of skills that you need for them. And then, you know, assistance maybe. Have you had failures in each one of those and then had to overcome certain obstacles outside of COVID this year?
Yes. So, let's go with the biggest financial failure that I had with Detroit Forest. So okay. It's just Forest with an S.com.
Okay.
Is that my biggest failure was that from the business makes bar tops, tables, and different surfaces out of wood that's local, that's custom milled, my friend's sawmill. And these projects are anywhere from $4,000 to $8,000 a piece. And it's just a piece of wood, right? But it makes a big statement within somebody's life because it allows you to create community. Since we don't really have boardroom tables anymore, you know, doing boardrooms and all that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
And one of my largest regrets this year was in small group, as a church society people, we meet in small groups. We were doing that before 2020. And friends of ours wanted a huge dining room table. And they ordered it. And they dropped the $1,000. And they wanted a willow table. So willow is a very unique wood. They needed to be 4 by 8.5 feet long or something like that and 3 inches thick.
Okay.
Kind of a deal. So they dropped the deposit of $1,000. I think we were charging like $6,500 or something like that. And we got to the end of the project, and lo and behold, they're moving, and the guy lost his job.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So
okay.
Now, so put those together, right? You got small group, church friends, not being able to pay, project complete, and what do you do? Kind of a deal. And
so did you guys lose your butts on this, or how did that work out?
Well, we did lose our butts on it, but the guy was nice enough to say, look, we're moving, but we're going to go out west for a number of months, and there's going to be no place for me to put this table. So you guys need to keep it, but you get to keep your $1,000 deposit. So that basically, let's say, covers material. It doesn't cover labor, right? But yeah. It covers materials and work, and I didn't make any money because you get it to the sawmill kind of deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the physical financial burden, right? And the projects that we get are probably only about 12 to 15 projects per year. Because if you're looking at this our $4,000 to $8,000 range, it doesn't take that much to get up to a working wage of $54,000, let's say, right?
Oh, boy, yeah.
In sales. Kind of a deal. So, but I loved it because I love what my friend does and what the song anyway. So that now gets to the point. And so now the question is, what do you do about the friendship? Right.
That's always a tough one.
Was it the friend? Exactly. So what do you do about that? So what I decided to do right away is my response is to, okay, God, I want to pull back. I want to go into my morning routine. I want to meditate a little bit, sit still with you, have that wash, all that kind of stuff. And what came back was sit with your friend. Just sit with your friend and talk to him. And I said, okay, I can do that. That's a simple step that I can do, God. Very simple, I can do that. So we sat down, and at the end of it, we apologized to each other. We forgave each other. And then we took decisive steps to try to mend the relationship, even though we know that he was moving away or doing whatever it is, right? So from a financial standpoint, huge miss, right? Like just absolute,
yes.
Couple of months of work and you don't get anything for it. From a, how do you pull a higher power down to want to even forgive your friend or him even want to go through that and then say, look, you know what? It sucks that life happened between this situation. Admit it, be aware of my feelings. And then, you know, I think today, even as I'm talking about it, I'm feeling sorry that they don't get to experience that product to create community right now, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Or experience that piece, if you will, as an artist and a craftsman and all that kind of stuff. But from a friend standpoint, I'm not mad at him. I'm missing him that I can't hang out with him.
Right, because he's your friend. And I feel like at the end of the day, you've got to have a certain amount of grace on that. Because unless it was intentional and malicious, which I don't think,
correct.
You know, it's harder to hear that voice and to take initiative and say, okay, we're going to try to mend this. If there was an intention or a thought that it was malicious, it was intentional to cause harm. So.
Yep. Yep, exactly. And I think Yep. And I don't think, I don't think, again, being 25, 26, 28, I don't think I would have been able to, I would have been aware that this wasn't malicious, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think I would have been able to say, you know what, let's just not hang out today. Like, I don't need to hang out with you today,
sure,
kind of a deal,
sure.
Or whatever it was. So, and the funny thing about that, too, is, I think me and you have gone through some job transitions this year again, right?
Yep.
I mean, I know I have. Let's put
up
it that
along.
Way.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, that's not a failure to me.
Well, I always look at them as a right? lesson, you know? It's not like I failed at one thing. I learned that that was not where I wanted to be long-term or permanently, hand in hand. And there was a better opportunity for the time being, for the future, and possibly forever, so.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So I want to talk a little bit about influence on this here, as far as people that have influenced your life. I'm assuming just directly correlated with faith, your father, the position, what his essentially his career, his job, his work was, might be one. I could be way off, but I mean, who are your top three influences?
I'll correct it, don't
worry. So, yes.
Yep. Sure. So, all right. So, the let's put it this way. What made my dad a great pastor didn't make him a great dad. And it's, okay. And I want to be clear here. It had nothing to do with drugs, alcohol, beating, sexual, anything like that. It was okay. Just, you know, what made him a great pastor, you know, he was either drained at the end of the day or just, you know, it's just something that was just him. So all of us struggle today to have a relationship with my dad in that way. So it's, my dad really wasn't influential on the God part, if you will, the spiritual part, because I had to find my own space within that, let's say.
Okay.
That's where kind of, it's kind of like the idea of good kings bring me closer to knowing who I am, right?
Okay.
And bad kings offer me lessons of who I don't want to be.
Okay.
Kind of a deal. So, so there's that. So, but the other half of this is, on the spiritual side of what's, been my influence here is that, I don't know if you're familiar with John Eldridge in a book called Wild at Heart at all.
Sounds familiar, but I can't say I know personally.
It came out in the 2000s, and they run a mission, or they run a group all the way out in Colorado, Colorado Springs, I believe it is. But the essence of it is that, you know, as a male, you're finding your heart, you're finding your awareness, and then within that, you're finding yourself in God, and then outside of that, you begin to create a community of males around you. So for the past 12 years, I've gone to Dexter, Michigan, in a fire, in either a garage or in a backyard of a friend of mine. We've done cigars and beer there almost every Wednesday night for the past 12 years. I can remember coming home from an airport and then going to this friend's backyard, basically. And there was anywhere from 3 to 12 guys that would be there just to kind of go through the week, talk about God and their hearts and how they were and what's going on in work. And you have joys and you have mishaps and all that kind of stuff. And they were there just to kind of learn from each other. And this group spans from 18 years old all the way up to, I think, 81 or something like that, mm-hmm. years of age.
Okay.
And it was just those guys, and the Wild at Heart ministry, if you will, and framework that has allowed me to kind of go in a direction that honors who I am as my own individual male, if you will.
Okay.
Honors that I have dreams and visions and things that I want to do. And then at the same time says, you know what? And the nice thing, it's not a church group either. It's that we still talk about God, but it's not a church group. And to say then in the end, okay, you know what? Community, mission, and relationships matter, and God can be in the middle of that. And this is how you do that.
Okay.
Because like I said, you know, it ranges all the way up to 81 years of age, and you can talk to the guy and say, what was it like in the 60s when you went through blank or whatever it is, right? Or, you know, what was you like when you did this? So just this idea of a community of men getting together, trusting that God's in the middle of that, and then being able to kind of build your framework around that actively. So that's a macro kind of influence in my life, let's say.
How cool is that?
Yep. It's been awesome. And I encourage anybody to kind of say, even if they have a small group of friends, just to kind of say, hey, fires can do amazing things. Let's just hang out. And then a beer and cigar isn't bad either. So
no kidding.
It's been fun also that way. And then on the other end of it, and I know there's one in Grand Rapids, if you get the inkling here, too. So,
okay.
So the other half about this too, is that the past 2 years, I actually went through something called, Kingdom Influencers, a part of this group. And the group is called truepursuit.org or whatever it is.
Okay.
So it's truepursuit.org is the thing. We can put that on their notes if you want to. That's
sure.
Good. If you want to look at it and go from there. But the other thing about that is we went through about a year and a half, 2 year mentorship intense study where we had assignments every week, and then we had meetings every month, kind of a deal. And then we also had four experiences where you went from understanding your story to kind of working with, we actually went out to Montana for 2 weeks, and we basically just sat still in the morning, mountaintop experience, and kind of just were able to kind of get into a very relaxed state with hearing God and hearing other things, and just kind of that, not really meditative new age, but just kind of the awareness of sitting still and just allowing God to speak or to whisper softly, or just giving him time basically in the morning. And so that's been the past 2 years to go through this kingdom phase, if you will. And then they kind of say, then after that, that's what kind of spurred me into saying, you know what, I'm sick of working for these projects. I want to do my own. And becoming 40 years old also kind of moved that into that space too, kind of a deal. And lo and behold, I find myself completely different because of my framework now that I have. The Enneagram, we talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think we should do that too. I think we should definitely do another one of those at another time. Really dive into that. So
I agree. And if when we do it again, I'm a seven with an eight wing, if you will.
Boy, I would say a two with I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll go back through
That's right. So anyways, that's a prequel. But So the Enneagram, just the idea of being able to trust what I see, inviting God into it, and then saying, God, what do you want me to do with open hands? I think that's more the influence there, that just that simple trust to be able to accept what I'm hearing, what I'm feeling, and by the way, the bottom of it, feeling loved, feeling like the beloved son.
Trust and is one of those things, that stance,
and then taking that stance and then through my entire complexity of life with family, friends, and everything else, and career moves and jobs and projects and everything else, just taking that and saying, okay, God, I trust what you're saying. And I want to hear it. And I'm also willing to take small daily steps with you, kind of a deal.
I think most of us, even devout Christians, struggle with that. I know a lot of us do, because we want to believe we have a certain semblance of control over our lives. But then when we're forced to give it all the way over, for me, it's been patience lately. And it's been a big struggle, because it's not necessarily the fast-paced world I grew up in, but in certain things and certain aspects with certain people, I want things to happen like snap of the fingers. And
exactly,
it's been repeated to me by these people, by myself, by my mentors, and even just in the morning, sitting in my silence and just asking, what do I need to do? What's going to make my day good? Where do I need to be today? And I just hear, be patient, kind of a thing. And to me, when I first heard that, because I had heard about people hearing things like this for years, and I always thought they were crazy.
Yep.
And then I started hearing it, and I just went, am I losing my marbles, or is this something actually legit? I have to believe, and I'm biased, that I'm not going crazy or any more than I've already been. But to hear that.
Well, two of us going crazy right now, if it is the case.
Absolutely. But then I start to see, as I try to step back and say, okay, I don't need to run so fast in this direction. I can just like take a steady walk with these people or with this opportunity, and start to see the fruits start to come up, you know, the trees start to bear fruit or whatever, and go, okay, so it is just a matter of patience. And then it's just a matter of, like, for so many years, not being patient, running as fast as I can towards something and saying, okay, this is why it hasn't worked for 20 years. Let's go ahead and try it a different way.
Exactly. So, exactly. And the fun thing, like the gracious thing that I hear in that voice too, is the acceptance that you weren't ready 20 years ago to do that.
Wasn't ready 2 years ago. I thought I was, but no, it's like being ready now and going, oh my gosh, why did it take so long?
Yep. Well,
because had I heard it, had it started happening, I would have written it off completely and never even been in a position to accept it for what it is today. So it's all about timing.
Correct. And that's, Yep, exactly. And that to me has been an invaluable just kind of like, you know, I look at my life and I'm like, well, I've done a lot of things and I still would like to do a lot of things. And, you know, for me in the middle of it, my 4-year-old will get up, right? And now I get to say, okay, God, well, I'm so mad that my 4-year-old was mad, or I'm mad that my 4-year-old messed up and came into the room and bugged me and knocked over my car, whatever it is, right?
Sure.
Or I can say, hold on. God is in the middle of everything. And my response to my 4-year-old right now is, hey, thanks so much for being up. Here's what I'm doing. Would you like to join me or would you like to go do something else? Kind of a deal. So,
okay.
You know, just that very simple space of just being able to take, you know, just for you, God saying, be patient. And for me, it's also patient and accept what's in front of me. Kind of a deal. You know, you don't know what you're supposed to get into. God knows, though. Kind of a deal. So,
well, that's been it's been a journey and just learning, listening, being patient, doing this, what we're doing right now.
Amen.
This has been such a learning experience for me doing these video casts, these podcasts, in talking with people like yourself, people that I've known for, you know, we've known each other 6, 7, 8 months. People I've known for, I mean, I had somebody on here, man, I've known him for 4 years now. I think I had a friend on here I've known for probably 7 years. There's somebody that's going to come on in a couple of weeks as we kind of record these. I think it's been 20 years we've had a relationship. And just to, awesome. To hear these things and go, I've known you for 2 decades of your life and I never knew that, or I've known so-and-so, and just to hear these things in different perspectives and different experiences and go, when I was challenged to do this, I never knew how much I would learn and how much it would shape my life and what I do. And it's incredible. Yep. So, I have a couple more questions. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, the other thing I would like to say too is, to me, that's the essence of being a Christian also. It has nothing to do with being an evangelical, going on missionary trips, doing all this kind of stuff. It's the essence of just allowing a relationship and community to build around you without force. And you reacting to that on a daily basis. So let's go to the next one.
Wow. Okay. So I want to talk, there's a couple of them we talked about here. So here's one that's always... tell me about a time here that you struggled with the decision and sought counsel.
Okay. So a very simple one during, especially the coronavirus time was, so I had, so I think in the past 3 months I've done solar install. I've done painting projects, drywall, siding, my blog stuff, nature stuff, and a bunch of different things. And I think I was going 7 days a week for about 3-4 weeks the past month and a half or so. Okay.
Do you see your wife occasionally?
I see her at home, yes.
There's a lot that you're doing. I don't know if you guys like video conference for 10 minutes a day or something or what.
well, this is the first time that I've been out of a house, like not out of a house, but out of, I guess, Southeast Michigan the past 5 months or so.
Okay.
So, so yes, we do. And, she gets sick of me within a day and a half.
So it's mutually beneficial. Okay. I got you.
Exactly. So, but just as a very simple, you know, what went on the past month and a half. So, and I got enough money to, let's say, pay bills. I got enough money to cover us into like the middle of December here. Mm-hmm. And all that kind of stuff, right? So all these things were lining up. And in the morning, I sat down and said, God, what do you want me to do today? Because I was ready to pick up the phone, start dialing, and maybe call 15 people and see if I could get work, right?
Okay.
Just some kind of project-based work that I could do.
Okay.
And so what I did was I pulled back, sat down. I go through something called the daily prayer, which is about a 13 and a half minute thing.
Okay.
And it's just a long prayer that goes through a big, I think you can search it at Wild at Heart Daily Prayer, whatever it is, if those people are interested out
there. I'm going to take it and I'll put it in the notes here when we post this.
Cool. Very cool. And it just allows me to basically surrender and feel like God's covering and being invited into at the same time, kind of a deal, right?
Okay.
So then that gets me to a spot of where I can actually listen, and it takes about another half an hour, and then that after that half an hour, however much time I have before my 4-year-old wakes up or somebody bothers me or whatever it is, it's just me sitting with God and just listening, basically. And he basically said, hey, why don't you go ahead and take the next 3 days off? And I was like, what?
Wow, okay.
Well, just go ahead and take the next 3 days off. And I said, really? He goes, yep, go ahead and do that. And I can tell you, I did not turn work away, but at the end of 2.5 days, I got enough work to continue paying our bills. So to me, it was just it's counterintuitive, productive idea, right?
Okay.
Which is, well, I can't stand still. I've got things to take care of. Right?
Yeah.
And God was like, no, this has nothing to do with the next 5 months. This has just to do with the next 2 days. Spend time with your family. Spend time with your kids. Spend time with your wife. Spend time with doing just maybe stuff around the house. Just take it off. Because being an entrepreneur, you probably don't have weekends sometimes. Right?
Sure, absolutely. especially with multiple things going on.
So he said just spend the time. So and it turned out to be a very fruitful, good time for me and my wife, of just being able, she likes to knit. She's the exact opposite that way. She likes to knit, and she feels loved by me just sitting down next to her and talking with her. That's it.
Okay.
So to me, that was okay. And God was like, okay. And I felt loved. I trusted it. I just took it one step at a time. And at the end of 2.5 days, two people called back, asked for quotes for painting, asked for quotes for solar. And God said, okay, now you can start up again.
Well,
kind of a deal. So,
wow. Yeah. The opposite of what you were going to do, huh?
Exactly. Because imagine if I would have had I would be going basically on a month of 7-day work,
mm-hmm.
and it would have said, I would have been like, this is crap. This is stupid. What the heck am I doing? When am I going to take a break? Blah, 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 blah. And it was just God simply saying, look, you're loved. You're going to get taken care of. Just take a break. Okay. That's fine. Where do you want me to show up tomorrow?
As a person who likes to constantly be moving, that was probably a bit of a challenge, huh?
Oh, a big challenge. Now, I enjoy a good rest.
Sure. I'm right there with you. So final questions here on this one. We talked about these earlier, Gabe. I don't know if you have, because we didn't get the final answer. I just kind of clued you in. Do you have a favorite saying, a favorite motivational phrase, favorite Bible verse, favorite, or a couple of them that really just hit home for you at some point in your life and you hold on to those every day?
Sure. I'm going to keep it as simple as I know.
Yes, sir.
And there's two of them. The first one is Jesus wept.
Okay.
Okay. So it's the shortest verse in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's just a very simple reminder that Jesus was human.
Okay.
And he knows exactly what I was going through, am going through. He knows exactly how I feel to strive, how I feel to be asked to sit down, how I feel at this point in time. I feel that Jesus/God knows exactly how I feel.
Okay.
Because he has emotions. He wept.
Yes.
Kind of a deal. So that's how simple I can keep it. And my mom's passed away, but one of her favorite verses and one of the ones that I love, it's in 2 Corinthians. I probably should know the items, but it's just the fragrance of Christ, or the fragrance of life, in the sense of where Paul talks about just the idea of that to some people we are the stench of death, and to others we are a sweet smell. And I don't get to control that, right? I just get to show up, and people can either click with me,
mm-hmm.
or they don't. And it has nothing to do with, the evangelical, to me, not the evangelical Christian of things, but just the idea of, you know what, it's my responsibility to bring God's kingdom within peace and love. And that's how I get to react to the world. I don't always do it perfectly. I'm not always aware of it, but I get to react out of peace and love. And that fragrance in my life is either death or life to somebody. And I would love to know who the people that brings life to. And I trust that it will.
I want to just give that here, because that is a good one. I've not been really familiar with that, but it's 2 Corinthians 2 verse 15 through 17.
Yes, thank you.
And as it is, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? And then it continues on. So that's good. So Gabe, if you could step into my shoes, what question would you ask yourself that I haven't done yet?
Is it okay?
Would you just laugh maniacally?
Well, I'm laughing here. Well, that's one end. The other end is, I was thinking about that since we pre-prepped the question, and I still am, but I've come up with something, I think.
Okay.
How has the role of greed played in your life?
And what's your answer?
My answer is that greed can be a major deception to a businessman or to an entrepreneur, right? As in, if you're thinking about a pendulum, right? So a pendulum with greed, I'm going to do whatever I can to make money, and I don't care who gets hurt. Okay. And then there's the pendulum on the other side, which is, I'm going to do everything out of love. And if I lose money and go bankrupt, but help somebody else, that's great.
So have you operated in the state of greed in the past, and what were the results?
I think, yes, I have operated in a state of greed. And I would say in the past, I was too afraid to come out of the love notion and the sense of, I remember we had a house in upstate New York that we rented, and I needed to have a specific coverage on taxes to cover that rent, right?
Okay.
But because people were kind of like, oh, we can't do this, I was $100 off per month because I told them the wrong price, because I wanted them to feel like they had a home, right?
Oh, okay.
And I believe we ended up losing that home, basically, because I couldn't cover the taxes then through job changes and everything else. And I didn't operate correctly out of responsibility, but out of a fear that my greedy actions would not allow that to happen, right?
Okay.
But then there's the other end, which is, you know, I made $3,000 on a job, and I'm only going to pay my partner $200, and I'm going to keep the rest of the $2,500 kind of a deal.
Okay.
So, you know, that's what he agreed to. He just wanted to do it for $300. So I'm not responsible to pay him that amount of money. Right.
Okay. Yep.
Because it's my own thing. And this is the open-ended question, is that greed or is that good business? Right. And I've said to him, you know, here's an extra, you know, I'm getting $2,500. Here's an extra $300. I know you didn't ask for it, but I think you deserve it because we did make enough money here. Da 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 da. Right. So those are my greed kind of like options when it starts talking about being an entrepreneur, if you will.
So we can dive into that and spend 10 minutes on that alone, but I think I'll let the listeners decide on that for themselves. I've also had an experience with that too, where I was paid by my employer to essentially set up our new office, all of the office furniture, build 50 desks or something like that. You know, these,
yeah.
very functional, but incredibly challenging to put together desks. They come from our favorite place that has no instructions and nobody can figure it out, called IKEA. And I had two people that came in and helped, and I bought pizza and beer, and we, you know, had a couple of drinks, and we, you know, ate some pizza and, you know, built all these desks. And I said, I walked out and I said, here's some cash for each one of you. And it was a small sum of money. And they said, nope, we don't want it. And I said, you're going to take it. And they're like, we don't want it. And I said, well, I'm going to put it in your hand and I'm going to get in my car. And if you decide to throw it on the floor, that's on you. And then when the boss found out on Monday, because this was like a Saturday or something, he found out on Monday, he's like, how come you didn't give more money? I said, it was a challenge to even give them what I gave them. He goes, I refuse. And I'm telling them that I'm making you give them more money. I said, I told him the same thing. And he's like, that's not even right. You should have given them at least, you know, split the half. You take half and split the other half between the two of them. I went, and then all of a sudden I feel like my job's in jeopardy because he felt I was being quote unquote greedy. He didn't, you know, anyway.
It
is like, is it the right thing? Like, hey man, I didn't have to pay them at all because I fed them and I gave them beer. You know, they were of age, of course. I'm not trying to incriminate myself, but I provided
that would have been even better,
and they were like, hey man, we don't want any money. We just want to hang out and, you know, we didn't have anything going on Saturday. So whatever.
That's right.
All right. So how do our people get a hold of you? How can they find you? You got a couple websites. I know that you're on at least LinkedIn. You're probably on other socials. How do we find you?
Yeah. I think the easiest one to get a hold of me and to either reach out to me or to even start a relationship is the Gabe at GreatLakesForest.com.
Okay.
Because that's an active work email kind of thing. I'm active on Facebook, but only really to post product kind of a deal. I don't really operate in the optimal community. My goal with GreatLakesForest.com is for other people to just talk about nature within the Great Lakes and how it's affected them either during this time or what adventures they've gone on and so forth and so forth. So there's one end there where it's kind of like, hey, you know, if you want to talk to me, great, fantastic, email me and we can talk on the phone or we can email back and forth and so forth to start a relationship in a community and so forth. And then the other part about it is, you know, if you're looking at solar, if you're looking at bar top tables, if you're looking at remote tables, that'll be my next thing, actually, remote work from home table. So we can talk about that too.
Nice.
So I can ship, I have the ability to ship nationwide and for it to put anyway, so we can talk about that next. But, I think Gabe at GreatLakesForest.com is the easiest way to reach out to me. You can definitely put up my LinkedIn page. Okay. It's not going to say, I mean, you looked at my LinkedIn. It's not going to say a whole lot other than, you know, that here's what I'm doing currently and here's what I've done in the past. And you can certainly reach out to me and connect. And I guess for me, I'm really interested in the connections that are redemptive entrepreneurship. So the redemptive entrepreneur would be somebody that says, ah, I know what you mean, or I'm very curious into what that means, which is that from that greed discussion, everybody gets a winning hand in a sense, where enough money comes in and there's enough professionalism and there's enough, just enough God in there that, you know, people can get over their differences to head towards something, but there's also good business in the middle of that too, kind of a deal.
Wonderful.
And so the, you know, if someone's like, you know what, yeah, I'm interested in the redemptive entrepreneur part also, but I like being a businessman, fantastic. That's a great place to start because God's going to really use you then. And it doesn't have to be a missions trip. It can be just opening a brewery in your local town after COVID. That's all it can be.
Okay. Sounds good.
Deal. So
Gabe, as we close out
Gabe
here.
At Great Lakes Forest.
Cool. Yeah. GreatLakeForest.com. Great Lakes Forest.
Yeah.
So what do you feel your purpose is on this planet here, Gabe, as we're here only for a limited amount of time?
Yep. I'm going to say on one end, I think we have to agree that very simply our relationship, no matter where we go with this, is going to continue in heaven. We're not just going to be singing songs. to Jesus the entire time. We are actually going to have a life. We're actually going to be interacting, and we're actually going to be building relationship. And any relationship that you make here is also going to continue in heaven. So the role that I play here, in the sense of development, learning, trying to connect, being a community and being good in community, is the role that I get to play with my skills in heaven also. And once we understand that, I think our life, and to respond daily with love, patience, and a kingdom mindset that I am loved, and my next step is with God. And if it's together with somebody, if it's not, or if it's on my own, if it's with my family, if it's interacting and just simply being able to sit down and have a beer with somebody and listen to their story, that to me is the community of Christ right there. It's just a simple mission to honor somebody's story and to know that they're loved. And that's what I hope I do in business, in my own life, and with my family.
That's awesome. Well, Gabe, I appreciate it. Again, thank you for being on here, taking the time. I'm not sure if you're still driving or what your status is, but I know that multitasking, you know, when you're looking at going to a job, it was very, very generous of you to give of your time and do this podcast for us. And we really, really, truly thank you for it.
You're quite welcome. And I appreciate that you get to document your journey for others to learn mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, that absolutely.
Way. And I appreciate the reach out. And by the way, I think it's a perfect example of how we're going to make relationships moving forward, right?
Truth. Yes.
We see absolutely. Somebody that interests us and we reach out and we just go from there. So
absolutely, yep. My friend. Absolutely. Thank you again for being on here. I wish you safe continued travels as you continue your job, move into Harrison over the weekend, and have a great Christmas. Great New Year. If we don't talk before then.
Hey, thank you. Yes, you too. And let me know about if there's a follow-up or if there's follow-up bits that you need, and we'll go from there.
Yep, stay on here, and we'll chat for a second, okay? All right. Thanks, everyone. Take care.